strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, austere religious scholar, said the Post, at the helm of Islamic State, dies at 48.
That's like saying Jeffrey Dahmer is a purveyor of organic and fine exotic meats.
This obituary was a disgrace, and I would ask the Washington Post, close your eyes and pretend that al-Baghdadi worked in the Trump White House, and then go rewrite your obituary. I bet you wouldn't be as kind.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
This fake impeachment inquiry has been ill-conceived and illegitimate.
Okay, so did he ask about Joe Biden? Yeah, we have the transcript, so we can pretend that the military officer coming to testify is a big bombshell, but the reality is we already have the transcript.
They're now attempting to sort of put a cloak of legitimacy around this process by saying they're going to bring it to a vote on the floor. They can't fix it. The process is broken. It's tainted.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
But there is one person that's not here today. More than anyone else, this person should be here because maybe he could learn something. And that's the superintendent of Chicago Police, Eddie Johnson.
The national narrative that Chicago is a city on fire is just simply not true.
Since Eddie Johnson has been police chief, more than 1,500 people have been murdered in Chicago, and 13,067 people have been shot. Afghanistan is a safe place by comparison.
Unchained and unstoppable.
Hi, I'm Katie Hill. I'm hurt. I'm angry.
Oh, boo-hoo! Let me play a sad song for you on the world's smallest violin.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. Welcome to the Howie Carr Show. Glad to have you with us here. And so now, if you don't like something that President Trump said, do you call Adam Schiff? Does Adam Schiff have an ad with an 1-800 number, like a, you know, like a an ambulance chaser on the morning women's TV programs? Hi, I'm Adam Schiff. Do you have a beef with the president?
Have you been wrong?
Call me.
Do you have a beef?
You don't have to make a down payment. We only get money if we impeach the president and convict him in the Senate.
Got a beef with Trump? Call 1-800-BULL-SCHIFF.
Oh, you scared me, Taylor.
That was good. I was like, oh.
A name. I remember they used to have the governor's counselor, who's also an ambulance chaser here in Massachusetts, a name you can trust. I go, really? Adam Schiff, a name you can, well, trust? Anyway, it's time now for Grace's News.
Hello, everyone. Happy Tuesday. I'm so excited to be in here, especially with our lovely VIPs today. Howie, I want to start with a little bit of impeachment news. I know you talked about this a little bit in the first hour, but the Democrats have introduced a resolution formalizing impeachment inquiry procedures.
Formalizing it.
After getting a lot of flack for not going by
precedent.
How
does that mean formalizing? Why don't you have an up or down vote? Are we going to have an impeachment inquiry? What does this mean, formalizing it?
They're like little kids, or even better yet, adults, like saying they're going to punish their kids, but they won't. All right, I'm going to count to three.
Yeah.
One, 1.5.
Good afternoon. It's December 8th, 1941. The United States Congress today formalized an inquiry into whether or not we should go to war.
FDR is on TV.
Yes.
Yeah, well, this is Nancy Pelosi's attempt, I think, to bring a little bit of fairness to the process.
No.
Because she's been getting a lot of flack as of late.
Faux fairness.
Yes, yes. As with everything with the Democrats, it's all for show. But I just wanted to get your take on it, Howie, and if you think this means anything. I mean, I thought when I read it that means that now Republicans, there's more transparency, and Republicans can call people.
No, they still don't get to subpoena anybody unless the Democrats sign off on it. What are the odds that the Democrats are going to allow them to subpoena, say, oh, I don't know, Joe Biden or Hunter Biden or a Hunter Biden's cocaine dealer?
Or or worse, his rent-a-car service. And he'd really be screwed.
How long have you worked for Enterprise Rent-A-Car, Mr. Smith? Have you ever found a crack pipe in the front seat?
Yeah, I mean, I just think that between impeachment, it's been a rough couple of days for Joe Biden. The 60 Minutes interview this weekend really put him off to a bad start. I think that he has the mindset when he goes into these interviews that, like, this is going to be the one that turns it around. Like, this is going to be the one I'm going to nail this. And every time it's like, you know, is he okay? He seems kind of old.
I think that for the next big primetime interview Joe Biden does, he should show us his time machine so we can go back and see, you know, where he wins the state of North Carolina in 2012, whether he plays where he plays Division I football for the University of Delaware, or he's the first white student to enroll at Delaware State. You know, all these great moments, or when he confronts Corn Pop.
No, he's like, remember in Back to the Future? When Marty goes back and he invents, what do they try to give him credit for? That song, the
Johnny Be Good.
Do you think Joe Biden really created it? We have to know. He's like Forrest Gump. He's been everywhere in history, and we just didn't know. There's just no proof. Who needs proof? Joe Biden has slipped in the latest New Hampshire poll. There's a new warning sign for former Vice President Joe Biden in the state that holds the first primary in the race for the White House. This is from Fox News. This is very recent. Biden was once the unrivaled frontrunner. If you ask him, like he said on 60 Minutes, he's still the frontrunner.
Yeah, there's only just one or two or three or four or five, six or seven polls that show I'm not number one. Other than those polls, I'm number one everywhere.
Right.
Just get back. I'm going to go back and let me show you my time machine. I'll show you where I'm number one.
But Howie had a really good point yesterday. He was saying it's not so much that you get this sense from him that he's lying in like a malicious way, like it's a calculated lie. I think a lot of times he believes this stuff, which is worse. I mean, a liar's a liar's a liar. Hillary Clinton's a liar, but you got the sense that she was mentally there. With him, he says things and I'm like, it's kind of like a sad old movie star. Like, I think he believes this is true. You know, like he's looking in the mirror and he's like, oh, I was the best ever.
I did win North Carolina.
Yeah. I'm ready for my close-up. It's really frightening.
You mean I didn't go to Delaware State?
Oh, and in more bad news for
him, I thought I played with Joe Flacco.
Bernie Sanders has highest favorability among Democrats and independents in college. So this is interesting because colleges...
This really is scary that, he is a Marxist. It's like Andrew Sullivan, the writer for New York Magazine, said he hasn't had a thought in 40, 50 years.
Did you see the video the other day that someone posted? And it was him, and he was at some sort of supermarket, and someone retweeted it and said, "What genius social media person decided it would be a good optic to have Joe Biden giving a speech in front of empty grocery shelves?" And he was. There was like rows of empty shelves behind him.
Joe Biden or Bernie?
Oh, sorry, Bernie Sanders. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say it's more appropriate for Bernie.
Yeah. You
know? This is what it looks like in Venezuela. After I have been president for a few years, that's what it will look like in your town. There will be nothing there. I told that guy Howard I didn't believe there should be 23 kinds of deodorants. There's not going to be 23 kinds of anything.
And also, the deodorant thing, it's like, don't worry about the 23. You just worry about one, okay? You work on one deodorant, we're all going to be good. I just think with Bernie Sanders, he has this grasp on all these young people, which, like you said, is frightening, especially because Democrats and independents in college, I think that's the majority of colleges. There's not a lot of, like, conservatives in college. And they're all buying what Bernie's selling.
There's only one way you can buy what Bernie's selling, and that's if you don't know anything about history or economics or human nature.
Yeah, but if you know a lot about women's studies, then you don't need to know about economics.
You know, I read something a couple of weeks ago that said you don't want your kid majoring in anything that has studies at the end of it.
Yeah, because it's like, why do you have to say it, you know?
Yeah.
It should just be obvious
that is so true.
Study.
Women's studies.
Yeah, so...
Queer studies.
Howie, I'm going to give you
their
the percentages.
Their phrase, not mine.
Bernie Sanders comes in with 22%. Joe Biden comes in at 15%. Elizabeth Warren only clocks in at 9%. And with college kids, I think it's a really good...
Is this college kids or is this everybody?
No, it's people in college.
Oh, people in college.
I think the key with colleges is it's very indicative of your likability. Because when you're in college, a lot of times what you go with is like, who am I going to feel good about voting for? Like, who am I going to leave and tell my friends when I go to the bar? Like, yeah, I cast my vote.
I'm going to get me a Michelob Light here.
Yeah.
I mean, didn't that help her with the youth of America?
I was actually just talking. Funny you should mention Michelob.
I'm going to get me a beer.
While you were talking about Stella's, I was talking to Brandon about our favorite alcohol products, and I said, I really like Michelob Ultra. I've really come around to it. So for that, I thank Elizabeth Warren.
Well, you know, when Bud Light, InBev, whatever they want to call it, announced their rotten results in the last quarter, they said, yeah, Bud Light sales are really down. But the good news is a lot of the people that are deserting Bud Light are going to Michelob Light. So they get even fewer calories. Fewer calories, less taste.
Yeah.
Fewer calories, less taste.
Did you see the video? Okay, so there was a guy at the World Series game, and he went viral. He had two Bud Lights in his hand, and he was walking back to his seat, and a baseball was aiming directly at him, and rather than lose his two beers, he just kind of like...
He took the shot?
He just took the shot directly in the chest. The ball bounced off him, and he was like... And now he's the face of Bud Light. Within the next hour, some tweets from his college days will come out.
Did they fire the king? Did they fire the king with the beard?
He was like, dilly, dilly. Boom. It was amazing. I highly suggest everyone watch that.
844-500-4242. And you know what? It's going to have no impact on the declining sales of Bud Light. People will enjoy the video, but they'll still keep drinking their IPAs.
Yeah, that's probably true.
I'm Howie Carr.
Keep it here, chumps. More Howie Carr after this.
Hi, my name is Jane Lucas, and I am from the town of South China, Maine.
This is Al from Merrimack, New Hampshire.
Hey, I'm Angela from Brewster on the Cape, and this is the one and the only Howie Carr Show.
Political correctness has its face, its place, excuse me. We all want to live in a polite society. We just have to kind of work on the levels and come to an agreement of what that actually looks like. I personally am not afraid of other people's freedom of expression. I don't use it as a weapon. It just makes me feel better, and I'm sorry if I hurt anybody, et cetera, yada, yada, yada. Everything I'm supposed to say.
I guess we couldn't get the better cut from Dave Chappelle. I guess it hasn't been out yet. It's going to be on TV in the next week or so. He said something like, "Yeah, if somebody says something you don't like, don't worry about it. The First Amendment is for everybody to say what they want. The Second Amendment is if the First Amendment doesn't work out for you," which I thought was a pretty good description. That's why they're in that order. If the first one doesn't work, maybe the second one will.
I mean, Dave
Chappelle. I'm sure
Chappelle,
he's going to be, you know, shunned for the saying that as well.
He could single-handedly save comedy as an art because it is in a lot of danger right now with everyone being so afraid of being politically correct. I know that I've fallen victim to the PC culture. I don't tweet anything out like I used to. When I was in college, nothing bad, but I would just tweet out funny things. Now I read my tweets over and over and over again and go, is this going to offend someone? Am I going to wake up tomorrow and be canceled? It's like, we're all so thin-skinned. And Dave Chappelle, that's why people love him.
Someone says, why wasn't Elizabeth Warren drinking an IPA? India pale ale. Get it? India, Indian.
Well, because she got a clue from the Boston Globe that the IPA industry is extremely racist.
It's racist, yes. Okay. Orion Metal Exchange is the only precious metals company that I trust. Give them a call to get a free, no obligations investment guide about protecting your future with an enduring investment in gold and silver. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain, including peace of mind, by calling them now. Call today at 800-912-2300. And with Orion, you'll get more metal for your money. Call 800-912-2300. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Who picks out your child's Halloween costume? Me and or my partner or my child?
child, of course. I mean, Halloween is, despite the changes of over the last 30, 40 years, is still a kid's holiday or kid's occasion.
It has to be the kid picking out the costume. It has to be. It's not about you getting a cute picture for your Twitter. It's about the kid having fun and filling up a candy bag, pillowcase full of candy, and then eating way too much of it and probably feeling sick by the end of the night. That's what Halloween's all about.
Yeah. 81% say their kid chooses their costume.
Good.
So now I'm just looking up at one of the cable news channels, one of the other cable news channels, and they're calling it an impeachment inquiry resolution. A resolution? What's a resolution? That's like when the Boston City Council, when you turn 100 years old, they pass a resolution congratulating you. Or a resolution congratulating the Patriots on winning a Super Bowl.
It's all just a word salad that nobody's eating. Like, it's so stupid. They just keep saying all these things. If you're going to do it, do it. If you're going to talk the talk, walk the walk. If you want to impeach him, impeach him. But put the rest of us out of this misery. Also, guys, I want to remind everyone that I have a very special podcast dropping Friday, Conversations with Grace. It is with the one and only Mayor Marty Walsh. A lot of your questions will be answered from a conservative in Boston. I had tons of questions for Marty, and he was a fabulous person to interview. He was very open, very honest, and I think you guys will really like it. So make sure you go to HowieKarsha.com. And I want to thank especially Matthews Brothers for sponsoring Conversations with Grace. We could not do it without their wicked, awesome main-made windows.
Chappelle, as some texter says, Chappelle used to be very anti-Trump, but he's come around a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, it's like Trump says, what are your alternatives? You know? And then they ask, Chappelle, how are you gonna deal with having Trump in the White House? And didn't he say, I think I'm going to have a lot more money in my pocket?
Yeah, I actually recently watched one of his stand-ups that was right after Trump got elected, and I thought I was watching the newest one, and it was very anti-Trump. But I'm going to watch the Sticks and Stones ones, which has recently come out, where I guess he, like you said, turns a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But everyone's against Trump until they get canceled or they get in trouble, and all of a sudden people start going, this isn't really that fun. It's yeah. Like, well, yeah, now you know how he feels. It's why I think Tiger Woods still goes to the White House when he wins stuff, because he knows what it's like to have everybody turn against you. And it's like, who cares? At a certain point, you just got to say, you know what? I got enough money. I don't care what you guys say. That's what these celebrities could do. That's
pretty much why I watch just generally older comedians, because most of them didn't really get into politics.
Yeah.
So many of them just stayed completely out of it. Rodney Dangerfield, Johnny Carson.
Yeah, if you see an old Johnny Carson monologue, I mean, some of the stuff is dated and you can barely remember it or you never heard it, but it's still pretty funny.
I mean, he'd make fun of social, you know, stuff that was going on of the day, but he wouldn't get political.
He would make
very objective jokes.
Yeah, and I think that the real thing that's amazing now is I used to kind of say, you know, just keep your political opinions out of it. But now when people are conservative, it takes so much more guts to come out and say, I support Donald Trump, that when celebrities do that, I have such respect. Like,
yeah.
Kanye West, he's not saying that he agrees with everything Trump does, but just the fact that he's saying, I'm a free thinker, you guys aren't going to bully me, that's incredible nowadays. Yeah.
413 says Dave Chappelle is still no friend of Donald Trump. He doesn't have to be. As long as he's a friend of the First Amendment.
Yeah, that's all we care about.
Yeah, give everybody a shot to say what they want. Not just the woke community. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
What the Democrats are now trying to do, they've basically cooked up a process they've been conducting in secret. The goal of the process, the aim of the process, was very clearly to preclude the president's counsel from asking questions of witnesses. The goal of their process was to preclude Republicans from being able to call any witnesses. And they've now taken this process. They've gotten so much pressure because of the way they've been conducting the process. They're now attempting to sort of put a cloak of legitimacy around this process by saying they're going to bring it to a vote on the floor.
A cloak of legitimacy. That's a good way to put it, I guess. I think that was Liz Cheney. 844-500-4242. Let's see here. Let's play. This is Representative Dan Crenshaw of Texas. He was on with Fredo last night on CNN. Cut 8.
We know he mentioned Biden. Mm. Now, why would that be? The question we have to ask ourselves is the president mentioning it because there's some kind of public interest? Well, I would argue in this case there might be, because our former vice president had a clear conflict of interest with his son being a board member of a company that was being prosecuted by somebody that the vice president was trying to get fired. So there's a clear conflict of interest. Whether it's illegal or not is up for a different debate. It might not be, but it's an obvious conflict of interest. It also was coming out in the news around the time of that phone call. So it's not that crazy that, along with the many other issues of corruption regarding the 2016 election that the president was asking about,
right,
that this is outside the public interest.
Right, but you're making
that's an
important assumption.
Point.
Fredo. To a battle of wits, he comes unarmed, as Bulger used to say. And I've just been working on the podcast for Dirty Rats on Thursday. That keeps coming up. 844-500-4242. I just want to read you a couple of stories here just before we start taking some calls here. You know, we've been after the Washington Post for the last couple of days. They have this columnist, Max Boot. He's a rabid anti-Trumper, and he's on CNN. So, of course, it goes hand in hand. And he's been saying that Baghdadi was not a coward, because he blew himself up, because that took courage to kill himself and his kids. And then he, you know, deleted that. And they also described Baghdadi as an austere religious scholar. That's the Washington Post, owned by Jeff Bezos, who also owns Amazon. Now, back home, though, in Seattle, Amazon isn't quite as parlor pink as it is in Washington, D.C., because they're dealing with the Seattle City Council. And the Seattle City Council is just totally, totally controlled by the far left. They imposed a $250 head tax for each employee at any business with $20 million or more in revenue to fund housing and services for the homeless. Amazon has 53,000 employees. You can imagine how much that would call. They had to repeal that tax because Amazon was basically, I don't know, I think they were threatening to take actions or move maybe. So Amazon said, we've had enough of this. A very liberal Jeff Bezos, Amazon says, we've had enough of this. So they have given about $1.5 million to the Political Action Committee that's run by the Seattle Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce. They're trying to get rid of all these moonbats that they support in every other jurisdiction and venue in the United States of America. So among likely voters in the city of Seattle, the woke city of Seattle, almost as likely to step in a pile of human excrement in Seattle as in San Francisco, among likely voters in Seattle, 69% had a negative opinion about the council. 67% are inclined to support someone who wants to change the direction of the city council. National Democrats have noticed the races and are treating Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos as if he had donated to Donald Trump. Bernie Sanders tweeted this week that Amazon spending in Seattle was a perfect example of the out-of-control corporate greed we are going to end. Elizabeth Warren decried Amazon for, quote, trying to tilt the Seattle City Council elections in their favor, adding that I have a plan to get big money out of politics. Do you think Jeff Bezos is paying attention to this? That that basically the two front runners for the Democrat nomination are threatened to cut his throat in his hometown? Or is he too woke to realize what's going on? But the Wall Street Journal points out that after the election, the most radical member of the city council plans to introduce legislation to cap individual contributions to candidates or committee at a total of $5,000. She also wants to ban campaign contributions from most companies with foreign shareholders, which would disqualify Amazon, Uber, and most other corporations in the city. The message to Seattle businesses is clear. Defeat the socialists now, or they'll rig the system so you never get another chance. This should be a lesson to all of us who don't live in Seattle. Every election, presidential election from here on, is a Flight 93 election. You have to win them all, because if they ever get back into power, they're going to do exactly to the United States of America what they're planning to do to Seattle. If they win the municipal elections this year, they're going to make it impossible for anybody who isn't a brain dead follower of the PC orthodoxy to ever get elected again. 844-500-4242. You might call Seattle a canary in the coal mine. Holly, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Holly.
Hey, Howie. I saw on OAN news station, One America News.
Yes.
Over the 19th and 20th, that one of the ship staffers had met with either the Ukrainian whistle or went to the Ukraine.
Yeah, I think it went to. I think it went to. I think he went to Ukraine. Yeah, I apologize for not following this more closely. I just find it hard to take it seriously. It's just meaningless. I mean, they don't have anything on him. This is all theater for the left wing newscasts.
Well, I don't consider Newsmax and OAN left wing.
No, I know. I know. We have to cover it a little bit. I mean, I'm covering it a little bit. OAN's covering it. Fox is covering it. But I'm just saying, I don't take it seriously. I'm not going to let it ruin my day, Holly. And I don't think you should let it ruin your day either.
If you'd let one of the congressmen know, I think they would certainly be interested.
Yeah, they're trying to depress the turnout. They're trying to prepare the battlefield, as they should say. You know, they use artillery to prepare the battlefield. In this case, they're using the alt-left media, Washington Post, New York Times, CNN, MSNBC, to prepare the battlefield. They want to make sure that they can firmly grasp the levers of power and never, ever, ever let them go again. Thanks for the call, Holly. Ed, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Ed.
Yes, hey, Howard, enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I'm right here in Florence, and I'm not Catholic, but this town's about 38,000 population.
Right.
I've got one Catholic church.
Right.
And Joe Biden chooses our town and our one Catholic church to go in and take communion. I think it's amazing.
You should be proud. You should be proud of Father Maury, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, my hat goes off to him, but I was going to make the point that speaking of abortion and churches' stances on abortion, I think Chelsea Clinton gave an interview one time and said that she and her parents left the Baptist church because they were opposed to abortion.
Because the Baptist church was, yeah.
Yeah, and that is, talk about a blunt statement. I thought they'd try to hide that, but no, she was pretty pretty outspoken about that. But anyway,
right. So are people in Florence talking about this? Because I mean, it's a pretty big story, you know, that some Catholic priest anywhere has finally stood up and done the right thing by the religion, the faith.
I just saw it in our local paper today, which it was probably in there yesterday.
Yeah.
Since it happened Sunday. So I thought my wife would probably mention it to me, but we're pretty conservative around here. So I'm not around a lot of social circles. So I'm sure maybe my pastor will bring it up this coming Sunday in the services. But my hat goes off to Father Moore. Right now, we differ in a lot of our doctrines with
right.
The Catholics and Baptists, but all I got to say is hallelujah.
Well, if you, I'll tell you, Ed, if you see Father Morey at the supermarket tonight, you tell him to give us a call. We're looking for him. We want to put him on national TV and radio, and I assume everybody's looking for him, you know, too. And I hope he doesn't take a lot of grief, but I agree. I thought Florence was a pretty conservative area. I don't think he's going to take too much grief from his local parishioners. Maybe some of the people from outside of South Carolina will give him a a tongue lashing, but I don't think anybody else in Florence will. Thanks a lot for the call in. Keep watching the show. Tim, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, hey, Howie, good evening. Hey, I have a question. If we learned in 2016 election in the Democratic primary that it's all wrapped up by whoever has the superdelegates, regardless of how many states the front runner may win,
right,
then why they weren't running? I mean, Bernie Sanders knows it better than anybody, so he must have them wrapped up, otherwise he wouldn't bother running. And if so, if you don't have them wrapped up, why is anybody else running? Or is it just a one big fake like everything else they do?
I don't know. I think they cut back a little bit on the power of the superdelegates this time around. And again, what Tim's referring to is that it really didn't matter how many states Bernie Sanders won. Hillary was going to win anyway because she got it like 1,000 of these people, all the, you know, the elected state legislators, all the statewide office holders, all the mayors. They didn't have to commit to Hillary, but 80-90% of them did. So Bernie Sanders starts out the primary and caucus season. He's like down 800 to 100. And O'Malley had zero, which as well he should have. And so I don't know. I don't know how it's going to work out. But, I think it's good for Bernie. It's good for Bernie's brand. I mean, even though he's 78 years old and has a heart condition and, he's a grumpy old man, I think he still thinks it's good for him. He's got $35 million in the bank. You know, some of that money's going to rub off on him one way or another. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to do anything illegal, but how can you go wrong with $35 million in the bank? You know, and especially when you're a socialist and you hate money and you hate people who are greedy, you can use that $35 million that you have to show how woke you are and how altruistic you are and how unselfish you are. He's a veritable Saint Francis of Assisi of politics. You know, he just likes to hang out with the poor people and the animals in the stables. I'm Howie Carr.
He's the guru of graft. It's Howie Carr.
This is Alex from East Bridgewater, Mass.
This is Ian in Saco, Maine.
This is John Zucco from Hanson, Mass. And this is The Howie Carr Show.
He's doing this for the right reasons. He got involved with this not because he needed the job. Frankly, far from it. He knew what would come with it. He knew the viciousness of the other side. As I talk about in the book, the last thing
What's
he said to me,
book again?
Triggered. Because we do definitely trigger the libs.
Because you're a very sensitive guy.
Yeah, I am a sensitive guy. And, the last thing he said to me going down in the elevator before he made his announcement on June 16th, 2015 was, "Now we find out who our real friends are."
Yeah.
Which was an important statement because it shows he did this knowing that all these people he'd known for years would turn on him in a second, because there's consequences to being a conservative.
You remember another moment in getting rid of Trump is the emoluments clause. Remember, you can't benefit from any kind of foreign investments. So that was in the beginning. And then it came back with the Trump Turnberry golf resort in Scotland. Remember this? This was a tempest in a teapot for about two news cycles, because some of the U.S. Air Force crews that were staying over at Scotland's Prestwick Airport, they'd land the plane there, and a few crews went to the Trump Turnberry golf course, which, by the way, he's losing so far since he opened the place. He's lost $50 million on it, Donald Trump. So he's really, he's obviously, maximizing his brand to lose $50 million at this golf course. From the beginning of 2015 through this August, 659 air crews, U.S. air crews, went through Prestwick and stayed overnight. 77% stayed in local hotels, 17% stayed in Glasgow. A mere 6% went to the Trump Turnberry, and only after other locations closer to the Prestwick Airport were determined to be unavailable. In other words, the only time when there was no room at the inn, they went to the Trump Turnberry. Six of those crews lingered more than 24 hours, all of them delayed by maintenance or operational issues. Okay? Six. They wanted to, some of the Democrats wanted to impeach him. Literally, they did. Since Mr. Trump bought the place, he's lost $50 million. If the president's illicit profiteering was to inveigle the hotel patronage of 31 U.S. air crews over 5 years, that would be the most trivial corruption in history. Judging by this Air Force report, it's not even that. Joe, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Joe. You there, Joe?
Hello, sir.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yes, I hear Schumer, Joy Behar complaining about the Kurds. I've never heard them talk about our fellow Americans being killed by illegals, raped by illegals, so forth and so on. To say that they're a bunch of frauds is an understatement.
No, you're right about that. There's a district court judge in Massachusetts that's going to go on trial for letting an illegal alien, a drug possessor, twice deported, on a default warrant from Pennsylvania for drunk driving. She let him out the back door of the courthouse. And you should see the amicus curiae, the Friends of the Court briefs. I just wrote about it today for my column in the Boston Herald. Oh, these poor people, they're being treated, they committed crimes and they're being arrested by ICE agents. How dare they treat illegal aliens like American citizens? It's ridiculous. I'm Howie Carr.